I knew that was going to come. But you know, he doesn't have to do another one right now. He's going to do it at the concert. So the tickets are on sale outside. Please go and buy those tickets. Buy not just for yourself, but buy for another person and be a blessing to other people. Amen. I'm a fan of Mag. Yeah, it's just a confession, you know. Yeah, I'm sure you can see. I was just there, told them, you know. Yeah, that's right. Well done. Thank you so much. Honor and thanks to God and you know, our Savior Jesus Christ for being so wonderful to us and for giving us such a wonderful church. Honor and thanks to our senior pastors, Pastors Walker and Haley Shares. They're not here with us. They're at Tabernacle of David and they're ministering the word. Amen. But we're here feasting too. Amen. And we're having a great time. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are present right here. And as we begin to look into the word, we know that you are speaking to each one of us. We pray that the entrance of your word will bring light into our hearts. We know that the grass withers and the flower fades, but your promises, they never fail. And so we thank you in advance for what you have to say to us. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. This morning, we are going to talk about something that I believe will lift up our hearts. And we are going to go to a very common, very well-known psalm to many of you. And I believe it will encourage us as we look to ending this year with a bang. Amen. All right, so let's go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. My Bible reads, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping and bearing seed for sowing shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Today I want to talk about a God who can do it again. Somebody said, do it again. He can do it again. He can do it again. Now this passage is interesting. It's one of the psalms of ascent. The songs of ascent. The songs that they sang when they were on their way to worship in Jerusalem, to worship at the temple. The people of God in the land that God had given them, they would move from different towns to go over to Jerusalem to worship. And that journey wasn't so easy. It was a rough journey. They had to ascend. They had to go up the mountain and they sang songs. They didn't wait to go to get to the place before they could start worshiping. So they would sing these songs. Songs that reminded them of the fact that they're not going to worship in vain. They were going to worship a God who has been active in their lives, who has been involved, who has done wondrous things. And the psalmist writes this song to encourage the community. Now remember, psalms are a way we kind of get to know about how the Israelites worshipped. how they felt during different circumstances. When they were hurt, there are psalms that express how they felt. When they were joyful, there are psalms that express the joy. And when they were in need, there are psalms that express that need. And these psalms are actually prescriptive. They are teaching people how to respond in any given situation. So in the psalms, we have a whole range of emotions from the best, the very best of times to the very worst of times. But this is how people express themselves to God. This is how they cried out to God. And in this one, it's a very interesting one. But the thing is that in Psalm 126, there is no direct clue as to what caused this situation. Psalms like Psalm 50, it's easy because David is just confessing he had sinned. And we can trace it back to, you know, where he sinned and he was confessing to God. And some other psalms, you can place them in the history of Israel. This one is not, it's not easy to place in history. What is the situation in which they went weeping but came back laughing? The immediate one that comes to mind, even for me, when I read this psalm the first time, I was reminded of the Babylonian captivity. Well, there are two things here. The Lord brought them back from captivity. Is that what happened? In other versions, I believe those of you who have NIV or other versions, it says the Lord brought them back to prosperity. But it's ambiguous. It's saying the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. So which one is it? The Lord brought them back from captivity in Babylon, or the Lord brought them back to prosperity? Now, let's take the Babylonian captivity. It doesn't add up because it doesn't explain the harvest. They didn't go sowing when they went into the Babylonian captivity. And they didn't bring back the harvest when they came back after 70 years. And most scholars agree that this is not talking about the Babylonian captivity. The psalmist is talking about a harvest. So let's take it literally, that he's actually talking about the harvest. The simplest possible sense is that they are talking about sowing and reaping. And they're saying, Lord, take us back to our land. So history doesn't help us because there's no direct record of what really happened that necessitated the writing of this psalm. But then we not only look to history, we can also look to geography. And I believe geography has the answer. When you look at the land where God had sent them, at different times they had had year after year after year of no rain. It would happen from time to time. Because you see, God sent them to live in those limestone porous hills where they are absolutely dependent on rain from heaven. And when the rain doesn't come, it dries up and goes barren. And there's no harvest, and they have no other source of food. Jerusalem was dependent on the agriculture around it. It had no trade, neither was it located on a trade route where money can flow. So they depended so much on the rain, the agriculture. So the only thing that they could do when they had a continued failure of harvest was to go away from home, to go down from the hills into the plains where there was water from the rivers. And that is why, for example, Abraham went to Egypt wanting food. Isaac, his son, also went to Egypt. They left their home and went to live elsewhere. And whenever the harvest up in the hills failed, because the rain did not come and the land was barren, they left their homes and went down into the valleys to find work, to find money, to make a living. That's the situation, and we can place it in geography. And with that scenario, we must bear in mind that they have lost their harvest as well as their home. And those two are the basic needs of a human being. Food and shelter. To lose them is a sad experience. Now you must understand the religiosity of the Israelites in their place that God has settled them was highly dependent on ceremonies and certain things that they observed in the land. They could worship on the mountain, and in their understanding of how the earth was created, they believed that Jerusalem was the access point to heaven. And through Jerusalem, God will pour down a blessing that will pour out to the whole world. So to be detached, to be removed from this place, means that their worship will be disturbed. It meant that their children will be exposed to heathenistic atmospheres where they were not going to learn the values and ideals that would draw them towards God. It meant that they were not going to live, it wasn't easy to live clean and pure. Because when you've gone to another nation, we say we do what the Romans do when you're in Rome, right? So it was a difficult situation. They were longing to go back. And this thing happened from time to time. They would have a series of failed harvests. So at some period, the harvest failed and they left home in search of food and work. And that's what caused the psalmist to write Psalm 126. And we're going to spend some time looking at the movements in this psalm. There are three stages. The first one is that we see from verses 1 to 3 that the psalmist praises God from the past. And then he moves on to praying about the present. And after that, he moves on to prophesying for the future. And we're going to move in stages. So let's take the first one, verses 1 to 3. It says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream, and then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. What is the first thing you must do when times are bad? What is the first thing you must do when you, in sorrow, you are in the sorrow of having lost that which is precious to you? The first thing you do is to remember that this has happened before. And the Lord dealt with it. The first thing you must do is to praise God. That when it happened before, He dealt with it. And you see, God has given us the sublime gift of memory with which we are able to recall the mighty acts of deliverance. And that is why He gave us memory. And somehow, thankfully, God has wired our memory that such a way that we're able to readily remember the good things much more easily than the bad things. And when we look back to the past, we remember how it was nice. And we remember the good things. Now, in this situation where they have lost both home and harvest, the psalmist looks to a previous and parallel situation in which this kind of a thing had happened. And he recalls that the Lord brought them out. And that this sheer relief brought a lot of spontaneous joy. And they celebrated, they made so much noise that the nations, wherever they had gone, they could say, wow, the Lord has done it for them. So when you look at this phrase, especially in the original language, when the Lord brought us back to Jerusalem, when the Lord brought prosperity back to Jerusalem, It's a double answer to the double need of losing home and harvest. At some point in the past, within the memory of the psalmist who wrote this one, he could recall God having brought them out of that situation. And so he says, when the Lord, he doesn't say if. When you don't have any reference of what God had done in the past, you will say, if you get me out of this one. You see, anybody made that? Lord, if you get me out of this one, I will give 20%. Anybody made those promises? And then the time comes and you are like, if you don't recall the blessings of the past when you are in a difficult situation, you will make promises and say, Lord, if. But the psalmist is able to look back, drawing from his memory, to say, God has done it. And in that moment, he has recognized that this same God is able to do it. Hallelujah. And he goes back in the first three verses to that remembrance of that mighty deliverance. And he says, it was so spectacular and so instantaneous that it felt like a dream. Try to recall, you know, try to recall some of the things that God has done. And think about his goodness. Think about your salvation. I know that there are people who have had chances to step in avenues where they're not even qualified, but God somehow has brought them into that place. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a thing that happened when I was a very little boy. And it's so long ago, KK was still president. I do remember. Yes, I was a small boy. So you know I was born before KK was, you know. That's right. But don't get lost in that. Yeah, trying to figure out, so how old is he? Don't do that. I remember we were gliding on a road that was slanted with, I just remember, Bachilambwe. We were just calling him Bachilambwe. And we were gliding. You know, I don't know what to call it. Maybe somebody can help me with the name of Akabala. You know, Amalisawa. My dad would bring these bearings from the mines because he was a mine. And would make, you know, the four-wheeled Kabbalah. And then he asked me, man, knock yourself out. Soon, come at you. And I pushed and I jumped on it. And there was a blind corner. And as we like to do that, and then skid right there at the corner. And right at the point where we were about to skid, because it was so fast, you know. Imagine like 140 in the Kabbalah sense, you know. In the Kabbalah speed. And then there was this huge truck that was carrying charcoal. And we saw it just about the time he was, you know, about to skid. And then he didn't know what to do. So he skidded so quickly and we went underneath. And he was able to kind of roll over. And I was left under the wheels, the two big wheels. And I think the man saw us, the driver saw us. And then he just stopped. And instead of stopping, like, it retarded a little bit. When he did that, it had moved off of my leg. I could see the tire prints. It was going to crush me. I wasn't going to leave. And as I was thinking about the goodness of God and what he's done, man, I can stand on my two legs because he saved me from that thing. It brought tears to my eyes because I had forgotten about this thing. And as I was thinking about the goodness of God, it was him. And in my memory, all I can say, God, you did it. Can you remember some things in your life that God has done? Because some of us, by own natural human reasoning, we shouldn't be alive. We should be in the grave, but God has preserved us. And when you go back in your memory, you can say, for sure, God has been good. And this psalm, in these first three verses, is teaching us that we should put a demand on our memory when we are faced with a situation that's so hard. We can go back in time and look at what God has done. And it's different things for different people. Where you could have died, where you could have lost everything, but God has been kind to you. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. And that is why in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. It's an imperative. It's a command. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hallelujah. We're not being asked to give thanks for all things. Scripture says in all things. Because there are things you can't give thanks for. Because they're so bad. They're gross. But in that situation, we remember a God who's more than able to deliver. Hallelujah. And we remember that He's got all power in His hands. And He can come through and is present in the circumstance right there. Hallelujah. So this psalmist is writing. And the first movement, the first stop he makes as he writes this song is that he looks at the past and sees the mighty hands of God, the mighty hand of God. But this psalm was written during a time when this victory, this triumph no longer applied. Now the same tragedy has risen again. They have lost their homes again. They have lost their harvest again. It is happening again. You know, there's that song that says, lightning doesn't strike in the same place twice. Anybody? Yeah. Oh, come on. But it's a saying that's well known, that lightning does not strike in the same place twice. Well, the lightning right here had struck. Look at the verses. Look at what he's saying. Because again now, he's transitioning. He's after looking back, he's come back to the present. He says in verse 4, restore our fortunes, O Lord. After looking at when he did it in the past, he comes back to the now and he says, restore our fortunes, O Lord. Like the streams in the Negev, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. It's talking about prayer in the present. From praise in the past, he comes to prayer in the present. The psalmist has moved from praise in the past. Now, here's a precaution. When we recall the mighty hand of God delivering us and the demonstration of His power, don't let it lead to nostalgia. You know, don't let it lead to nostalgia. Because God is not interested in nostalgia. God is the God of the future. Because nostalgia keeps you stuck in the past. I mean, who doesn't remember those days? I don't know about you, but I do remember those days of with fondness. No, those days when on TV there was Entumia, Estoy Perdida, Tu Corriente Mia. Arrastrado. You know what? Right? Yora fruto la deriva. Sin saber cuál es mi estrella. Si mañana sin amor, sin rumbo. Porque si queridamos sin ti, no sé sobrevivir. Corazón de piedra, corazón corazón de piedra. Ne fiumbu. You know? Nostalgia. Those were good days. But that's all it is. That's all it is. It doesn't do anything for me. You know? I remember one time we were youths. You know, just in a youth group, and then came this man who was there during a revival in the 80s. And he started criticizing us. He said, oh, these songs that you are singing these days, you know that condescending attitude that doesn't help anybody? And he comes and he said, he brought the hymn books. You know, and he wanted us to be singing the hymn books, and we were like, what's his point? We used to go and we evangelized. We were spending all night praying. And there was this time, you know, he became consistent. He was coming to the youth meetings and he was, you know, sharing these things. And then he said, let me teach you one song. And we were like, oh, please. Inside. We were civil because, you know, Zambians, we're kind of polite, you know. This is an elderly person and we were just there. But then he sang this song and he became so emotional. I think he was reminded of some days in the past when God was moving. And he was like, because in the blood he was shed for me. He was crying, but none of us was crying. We were wondering what was happening. He couldn't connect. His remembrance of the past couldn't connect with us. And if that's all it is, then it doesn't help anybody. It can't help you in a circumstance. But we need to use our memory to remember the great acts of God. Hallelujah. To build up, not nostalgia, but expectancy for the present and good new days that are yet to come. Hallelujah. Recall the great things, but do it in such a way that you will turn your praise from the past into a prayer for the present. Hallelujah. And say, do it again, Lord. That's what he's saying in verses 4 and 5. So the first part of the prayer, he says, take us back, restore us, God. And now comes the vivid picture in the second part of this verse. It says, those like the streams in the Negev. This is a barren land. It was very much like a desert. It's in the south of the Sinai Peninsula. It was dry, arid, and barren, and very, very dusty. But right there in that desert, you could see riverbeds. And those of you that have been to the Holy Land, as they call it, you can bear witness. It's dry, very dry. But as you are going through it, you see signs, warning signs like danger, floods. That's because at some point the water comes back. When it rains, the water comes back. So there are dry riverbeds. But he's saying like the streams in the Negev, it's a picture of God sending rain. And suddenly what was lifeless, barren and arid, dusty land, in an hour or two when it begins to rain, it is filled with water. Rivers are flowing with water. So suddenly it happens. And the desert can go from just being barren to green. In just a few weeks, things are growing there because the rain has come. And what they are saying is that, Lord, our home is so empty and barren without us. Take us back to that place where we have life, where we can be full of joy, full of activity, and praise you again and honor your name again. The prayer is, Lord, do it again. Do it again. As suddenly as life returns to the desert, do it suddenly. And is honestly crying out with intense emotions, expressing urgent need for relief. So you see, they had a continued failure of harvest. Now verse 5, it says, verse 5 says, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. But where do they go? Out to sow seed. And why did they weep? That's a question we must ask. Why did they weep as they sowed? You see, from the places that they had gone to seeking asylum, every year they would send people back to the hills, men carrying seeds, hoping maybe this time. You know how we know on the 24th of October that it's going to rain? They had that clock as well to say, this is the time we plant. And people, imagine, from last year there was no harvest. You had planted, but you go back up. And men with precious grain went up to scatter it on the hills to see if they would get a harvest this time. When you are hungry and working hard in order to eat, to take some of that grain that you have to survive on, knowing full well that you may not never get the harvest, that can be very painful. Investing in something that the risk is so high. If your family is hungry, to take some of that grain and scatter it on dry ground, dusty and barren, with a bare hope that you might not get anything out. That is very hard. And here's a picture of these asylum seekers in a foreign land, sending men up in the hills, scattering seed in hope that they could have a harvest. Scattering that grain with little hope of ever getting something back. The prayer is, please, Lord, let this be the year relief came. So it's a prayer that's based on a tangible thing. But they sent these people. No wonder they wept. Because this is something they were supposed to save for their livelihood. No wonder they wept as they went up to sow seed. When you're investing in a business and you don't know what's going to happen and you've lost before, it is hard. But they did it anyway. They carried their seeds. They carried their seeds. And the psalmist is looking at these men who were persistent at some point. When he looks back at verses 1 to 3, the reason there was a harvest and the reason it came like a dream is because there was a continued sowing, even though it was in a dry season and the famine had hit, but they kept on carrying seed and sowing it, leaving God to do his part because they knew he could do it. And now in the present time, they are praying, God, we are in that situation again. Can you do what you did before? You see, God is a specialist at repeat performances. And he can do it again. You see, that's why it's important to find yourself in places where you're being encouraged, where you're receiving the word of God in small groups. Because you may not have a direct reference point. But you can hear somebody's testimony who went through something. That's why connection groups are very important. That's where people do life and share stuff that they cannot share in a big grouping like this one. But we go to connection groups and we listen to people's testimonies. And you know what? This God, he can answer a prayer where you can say, as you did it for Mwansa, God, you can do it for me because I am your child too. And you can do it again. And that's why we need to find ourselves in places where we cross-pollinate with like-minded people. I like the ad of the African thing. You tempted me. Merge. Where people are like-minded and thinking toward God in the same way. So, we are being taught in this psalm to be able to look back at what had happened in the past what God did. Like when I remember how God saved me from death as a little kid, I can say as long as there is breath in my lungs, I'm going to live for this God. And the same God who saved me in that situation is able to come through for me today because he hasn't changed. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And he will never leave me. He will never depart. And I have confidence that when I present my case to him, he's going to answer. In fact, his promises are yea and amen. And you can bank on that. Hallelujah. He can do it again. And I pray with confidence because I've got so many reference points. When I could have died, I mean, standing in the bush, just being naughty as boys, and then you see a snake just passing just like that. And you know it's venomous, but it passed. Who closed its mouth? God did it. Hallelujah. He is God like that. And I know as I'm talking, some of you, you are going back to those times when God did it for you. And let the praise arise and a faith arise for your current situation. I don't know what you're facing right now, but you can go to him in prayer. Hallelujah. And that's why we've got to fill our hearts and our minds with the knowledge of God's mighty deeds. You may not have a practical reference, but you should know the word. When you know the word, you can draw from that reservoir. I can't go to the ATM where I haven't banked. Well, if it's your card that you give me, I can go to your bank and you give me the PIN. But an account in my name where I haven't been depositing, how can I withdraw? Miracle money doesn't apply. You have to deposit something in your memory bank where you can go and withdraw with your faith. God, you say this in your word, and I'm standing on your word, and I know that you are not a man that you should lie, and I can depend on you and lean on your flawless record that you never fail, and trust that you are able to come through for me. We must learn to turn our praise into a prayer for the present. Hallelujah. The last thing he does now, if you look at this psalm, he's saying when the Lord restores the fortunes of Zion, we, every time he's saying, it's a first person plural, we. But in the sixth verse, it changes. And it says, he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. The one. The address now is to the individual because the individual has a role to play. This is what God has done for us in the past. But the individual has a role to play and he needs to make up his mind, her mind, that they are going to still sow, even if it's in tears. And it puts a demand on your attention. It puts a demand on your response. What are you going to do about the circumstances that you're facing now? Are you just going to watch and cry? Because the psalmist is not saying, why me? Why me, Lord? Why, Lord? Why again? You know, he's not saying that. He's got a forward look. Facing forward and he's looking at what God is able to do. He's not complaining. He's putting a demand on God's promises. He's putting a demand on the faithfulness of God because he's done it in the past. And this psalm is teaching us that in the dry season, we should never stop doing good. That's what we were taught last week. Do good. Do good. In and out of season, you don't stop doing the right things that you know. Because this was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for them to take seed that they're supposed to eat. Something that they need for sustenance. And they go up in the hills and they plant that seed, not knowing, or knowing full well that the rain may not come. That's a sacrifice. But that's a choice you need to make as an individual, wherever you are, whatever situation that you are facing right now. Do good. Continue sowing seeds. Hallelujah. Continue praising God. What we have is a picture of people who lost their harvest. And so they lost their home. But there's a prophecy for the future. They praise God that when that had happened before, God brought them out with such joy, and it was vividly evident to the nations that God had done it for them. How happy we were, he says. But now comes the prayer, Lord, we are in the same situation again. Will you get us back home? And now comes the exciting moment in the psalm. From praise in the past, through prayer in the present, we come to a note of prophecy for the future. And the psalmist says, this year, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Use your memory to go back in time and look at what the Lord did. He will do it again. He can do it again. Hallelujah. Now, here's one thing as I conclude. The joy is not the result of weeping, but a result of sowing, because they sowed seed in spite of the situation. You see, tears have got nothing to do with the breakthrough. They were sowing in tears, yes. Tears are incidental. They are real, but it's not the result of tears. It's the result of the fact that these people, in spite of the tears, they went up into the hills and scattered seed. They were tears of disappointment and frustrations that year after year, there was no apparent result from their sowing. But they went sowing seed, even though they wept while they did it. And the harvest came because they were faithfully doing the good they knew, sacrificially. And they consistently did it. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. There's a condition. If we do not give up. What will you say to your situation today? Something that has repeated. Or maybe this is the first time it's happening. Sometimes, you know, you're raising kids and they just don't appreciate. They're just so entitled. Mothers and fathers raising teenagers. Teenagers are, we love you. I was a teenager too, but hey. As a parent, I'm praying for special grace as my daughter gets to teenage, you know. Because the teenagers can be so ungrateful. You know. You know. I've got my rights, and this thing of rights these days. Keep loving that child. Maybe you're believing for your spouse who once was a believer, but they backslid and they've stayed in the worldly things. God can do it again. He saved them once. He's able to save them from that life today. So I want to encourage you, just where you are. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe you're looking at how the year has unfolded and you're thinking, my goodness, this year has been hard. And I know times are hard. People are saying, people in business especially, are saying money is hard to find these days. But we have a God who's able to bring a breakthrough. And He can make it rain for real. And he can bring life into a dry place. Hallelujah. That said, I invite you to stand because we need to bring our needs to the God who can hear us. So I kindly invite you to stand to your feet if you can. And we're going to pray in these few moments. Hallelujah. I've seen you move. You move the mountain. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you. Now sing it prayerfully. Seen you move. You move the mountain. And I believe. Yes. I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe
I'll see yes. you do it again.
Your promise still stands.
Great is your faithfulness.
I'm going to declare it.
Your faithfulness.
Hey.
I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail.
Yes, Lord.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail.
Yeah. Just lift up your hands. And come before a God who's got a flawless record, and we can lean on Him and trust His flawless record for your business, for your family, for the restoration of things that are barren right now, for relationships that are barren right now, for investments that have been brought fruits. And you can go to this God who can do it. He can do it. Hallelujah. 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 Ha! Speak life into that business. Speak life into that relationship. You are standing before a God who's more than able. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we worship you, Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
I'll see you do it again. You made a way.
Where there was no way.
When there was
Hallelujah.
No way. And I believe.
Hey.
I'll see you do it.
I've
seen you move.
I've seen you move.
You move the mountain.
You move the mountain.
And I believe.
Hey.
I'll see you do it again.
You made a way. Hey.
Where there was no way.
Victory. Oh yes. It's not just an emotional release. We are trusting in a God who's able to do it again. Hallelujah. Just one more time. Just lift up those hands as a sign of surrender to a God who's able to come through for you. He knows you by name. Hallelujah. And He's more than able. Ha! Oh, I'll see you do it again.
Yes! Move.
Hey.
You move the mountain. And
I believe.
I'll see you do it again.
You made a way.
You made a way. Where there was no way.
And I
Hallelujah.
I'll see you do it again. With hands lifted up. God, we come before you. answer our prayers. You are the God of wonders. You have all power in your hands. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are more than able to do it again. For my family. For my sick family member. Oh, Riamoski Andeshka Yadibara Siketoshkindra Yadada. Jesus, you are able in that hospital bed. You are able. Oh, touch, heal, and deliver. Hallelujah. That sickness, that doctor's report. Oh, God, you're able to reverse it. Hallelujah. Because you are God. Who can do it again, Jesus? Restore our fortunes, oh God. You did it before. Do it again, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, hey, hey. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. Huh. God is a healer. God is a healer. And He's right here. And He's ready to heal. As you raise your hands, as you reach out to Him in faith, He's a healer. He's a healer, yeah. And some of you are standing in for somebody that's close to you, that's sick. God is able. He's able, He's able, He's able. Hey. You can do it again. You can do it again. This is not just history. These are truths. Eternal truths about who you are. Because you never change. You are God who has all power in your hands. And we bless your name today.